Today is one of those days when I feel I want to use a specific song as backdrop to what I want to share. This song is very special. It was composed and recorded by my brother David, and it is called After the Rain. Well, it was kind of raining a lot last week. It is not raining this week. Actually, the sun is shining. But I've got this feeling that there is going to be a thunder soon. So, well, while the sun shines, I'm going to talk about the books, some books I've read this year. I was going through the list of books I want to read, the ones I need to read for the book clubs I lead, the ones I need to order, the ones I have already finished, the books I need to review. And I've noticed that there seems to be a logic in the way I read. This happened at least in the month of January. In that month, I seem to have read either Greek classics or modern Greek lit, short stories, or short stories linked to the topic of the sea, of the river, of, yeah, related stories. The first book I read this year was Sappho's poetry. Well, Sappho, as you may know, is the earliest and most famous Greek woman poet. She sang her songs around 600 before Christ, I think. And she lived on the island of Lesbos. Of course, there is not much that has survived from what she wrote, but there are fragments, and this is what I read. It was one of those days in the public library when my children are reading stories for children, and I picked this book, and I could see Sappho's style is very passionate, is direct. The poems are about desire, friendship, about rivalry, about, yeah, the passion for the light of life. I liked it. It was the first time I was reading Sappho, and although the fragments can be a bit difficult to grasp, I thought it was a nice read. And then I read Antigone by Sophocles. This one was written like around the 400s before Christ. I didn't move that much. And it's a tragedy about the aftermath of a civil war. A civil war in which the two sons of Oedipus kill each other. And the new king, Creon, tries to punish Polynices, one of the brothers, for his disloyalty by not burying him properly. But then our main character, Antigone, comes and decides to bury him. So she decides to disobey the law. And here there is a tragedy. I read that story because I wanted to use it for something I was writing. And I think it is such a good tragedy. It's so well written, and the topic is, well, interesting, yeah? It's about disobedience, civil disobedience. And I could link this tragedy to the next book I read. The next book was not an old one. It was published in 2015, and it is called Absolute Humiliation. The book was written by Rhea Galanaki, a contemporary author born in Crete in 1947. And I think this book, Absolute Humiliation, is a modern tragedy staged in the center of Athens and set during the, well, set in the context of the Greek crisis. The book has not been translated to many languages. I don't know if it has been translated into Spanish. I read it in Catalan. And its literary value has been recognized. The book has been on different, well, has been talked about in different literary circles, but it's not very popular. Well, some of the things I found interesting were like the issues the book was going over, the awakening of racism in Greece, the consequences of the economic crisis on Greek society, on Greek identity. It also goes the two main characters are two women with mental problems, and they are living in this shelter for the mental sick. And there is this strike they want to go to, but they cannot go outside without without permission or someone going with them. So they run away, and then once they are in the midst of all the demonstrations, they get lost and cannot go back home. And well, the plot offers also a narrative of the Polytechnic generation. These two women belong to the Polytechnic generation. And it offers also an intergenerational dialogue in the context of the Greek crisis. One of the two women has a son who wants to fight for, wants to fight for equality, for better conditions. But there is also this other boy who is a kind of neo-Nazi. And the plot is very well worked. And the story is altogether very interesting. Yeah, I liked it very much. And next, I decided to continue with these contemporary Greek authors. And I got a book from the library called Graceful in the Wilderness by Zidana Satelli. It is a collection of stories divided into four parts, in which the author wants to use female characters as kind of symbols of the hidden forces of life. I read well into page 200, I think, but the stories didn't catch my attention too much. There were issues of mental sickness as well. There were like many different kinds of women, passive women, innocent girls, half-mad adults. And all of them were trying to find their place in society and find their place in the world. But well, I was not like very moved by the stories. Zidana Satelli, I would say, drones from her past, from her childhood in the north of Greece. And yeah, the descriptions of a small village surrounded by fields is good. I could feel like this environment in the 50s and 60s. And the book certainly has a kind of, it kind of merges time and a timeless haze. But well, again, I was not fascinated by the book. And then, because I was already in the mood for short stories, I moved to Leonardo Sciascia, the Sicilian author. This was a book I had to read for a book club. And well, the one I had chosen was The Wine Dark Sea. I had chosen The Wine Dark Sea because it was a collection of short stories, because I wanted to know Sciascia, and because I was like fascinated by this title. The Wine Dark Sea is an epithet in Homer. It appears in the Iliad, I don't know how many times, but it appears a lot in the Odyssey. And Wine Dark Sea is often used to describe a rough, stormy sea. Well, there is one story with this title, but the rest of stories are very different. Sciascia speaks about aspects of the Sicilian way of life and history, such as the mafia, and many other things. It talks about Christianism, communism, the desperation of poverty. Lots of topics. It covers a lot of things. And it's interesting. It's interesting to see or to get to know Sciascia's work. And the discussion that followed was also very interesting. Most of the people who came to the book club that day had enjoyed the stories and had found literary value and historical knowledge as well. Yeah, well, if you don't know Leonardo Sciascia and you want to celebrate his 100th anniversary, you can try this book, The Wine Dark Sea. I tried to read it in Italian, but the long sentences and relative pronouns and so on and the Sicilian dialect was difficult for me. And then something else I read still in the month of January was Zadie Smith's Grand Union short story collection. In fact, I just read one story and had to give the book back to the library, but I'm going to talk about this story. It is called The Lazy River, and it is a story about a group of British families on vacation in the south of Spain. And well, the author explicitly says from the start that this lazy river is a metaphor for life. You see, I am really into the topic of the sea and the river as metaphors of life. And well, the characters spend most of their time in the hotel, swimming in the swimming pool or doing nothing, taking pictures to post, and things like that. But well, as a metaphor, it works, and I found it very well written and very thought-provoking. And well, with this music by my brother and a poem by Jorge Manrique, I'm going to leave it today. Well, because it was all about rivers and seas and islands surrounded by the sea, I have to say some verses by Jorge Manrique. It goes like, nuestras vidas son los ríos que van a dar en la mar, que es el morir. So, well, the rivers would be our lives, just like in the lazy river, and the sea would stand for death.